And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. Yes, we are always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. And today is another great day to be a real estate investor, especially right now. I'm seeing increased deal flow. I'm seeing some reality in the market that had kind of evaporated the last few years, but we're getting back to some sort of normalcy where some of these investment opportunities make really good sense. They're good opportunities that are out there. And I'm taking advantage of a few of those, and I know a lot of other people are as well. However, this doesn't mean that every multifamily investment I've ever made was perfect. In today's topic for the show today, came up in an email exchange with a fellow listener, fellow member. We're both discussing a distressed apartment community that we are passives in. Okay, so we get a passive list and we know who's invested in the property, the Schedule A. We get that after we invest in the property. I'm going to talk about this property and I'm going to withhold the location of the property and the name of the property for our show. But I do want to thank our listener, Frank, for today's discussion. Now, at the time we invested in this property, it had everything going for it. Great lead investor, experienced lead investor. It was a newer property than other properties I had invested in the past. This property was presented to us as a Class B yield play. So that means that it should cash flow rather immediately within, say, 6 months, two quarters of ownership after occupancy, right? So two full quarters of ownership. But yeah, great location, excellent cash flow projections, 3 to 5 year hold, estimates of a minimum of 100% return upon sale. And we purchased this property in March of 2021. Dun, dun, dun. Because we know what happened after that. Within 6 months, I mean, we were moving right along. We got our first distribution check, and the distributions continued for the next three quarters into 2022. After that, distributions came to a screeching halt. Our cash flow was turned off. We've been hanging on to this property ever since. So I'm here to share the receipts. I always want to share the truth. Not everything I've invested in has been perfect. Much more. I mean, 90%+ have done phenomenal. I'm way ahead overall. We still hold this property. What we have going for us, this property, it's a great asset. It's well taken care of. It has excellent occupancy and excellent cash flow. Okay. Little did we know at the time of this purchase how dangerous interest-only loans were to become moving into 2022, 2023, 2024, now 2025. We've been able to pay our rate cap insurance each time. The end result is that paying for those rate caps has wiped out our cash flow. We hope to sell this property by the end of the year, and there's a decent chance we can make that happen and get a portion of our investment, if not 100% of our investment. I'm, you know, anywhere in between. It is what it is. We may not make a return on the property at all. We'll see, right? If we get an interest rate drop, and I'm not going to sit here and wish for hope and change and blah, blah, blah. I don't bank my future on wishing for something to happen, but it could happen. But if we finally do get this interest rate drop over the next 6 months, that could shift gears for us. I'm not counting on that happening. Okay, so I look back. You have to say, okay, I'm in this property, and you gotta evaluate yourself, right? You have to have an after-action discussion and say, what happened, right? You've got to review. You've got to take ownership of how you ended up here. So let's go into the what happened. I've boiled it down to a couple of things. First of all, looking back, this lead investor was a rock star. He's well known, and he had about 20 properties under his management company. The guy had been crushing it for years, but looking back, that's way too many. Okay, that's way too many for me. I'm not saying it's way too many for you, but it's you know, he had too much going on. And that property taught me a valuable lesson, and I've put it into my personal rules of passive multifamily investing that I'm going to share throughout this show. But the lesson is this: I will not invest with a lead investor, a syndicator, who is managing more than three active properties at any one time. That's just my limit, okay? I'm not telling you how to do it, but that's my line of demarcation. You got more than three, I'm going to have to sit this one out. So that's my personal rule that I've written. So, you know, that's just for me, right? I'm just trying to be a little more risk averse. I think if you've got three, you can pay attention to what needs to be paid attention to. If you've got more than 20, that's going to be difficult, even with a management company. Now, the next issue is black and white. Obviously, we took on an interest-only loan in 2021. Little did we know just how much the world would change in 1 year. The U.S. government or the Fed or whoever went on a series of rate hikes at the fastest period in U.S. history. I mean, it was every month, like, here's another half point, here's another half point, here's another quarter point, here's another quarter point, here's a half point. Boom, 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 boom. And they went straight up, and they haven't really done anything about it, even though inflation's down, the economy's doing great, they're just holding. So, you know, I'm no Fed manager, but I don't understand, you know, when Europe has 10 cuts and we've had, what, one before the election, maybe two? I don't know. But anyway, rates went up. We got caught swimming naked with an interest-only loan. Lesson learned, right? Lesson learned. Now, looking back, I also realized I was too heavily invested in one geographical area, namely where this property is. It was just part of my evaluation. This area was an absolute gold mine for many years for multifamily investors. People have been cleaning up there for as long as I can remember. And there's still good deals in this area, okay? There's still people investing in this area that make sense, that are excellent. I just found myself too heavy as a percentage of my portfolio. So I started thinking about, hey, how can I adjust for this in the future? So I started putting some limits on myself geographically, right? Does that make sense? But the city in itself has become overrun with new builds. If it makes sense for us as real estate investors, it's only a matter of time before the big institutional investors find out. And that's what happened in this city, right? And it's a large city in Texas. And they're like, hey, this is a good place to build apartments, multifamily apartments. I know, let's build 8,000 units a year and just saturate the place. So they all came in. The new builds are finally starting to taper off a little bit. But when you have that many and all these new units, it puts pressure on occupancy and rent growth. But that is starting to taper off. But it's a process that takes years. So going forward, I'm not going to put more than 10% of my investing, right, my multifamily investments, in more than one city. I can be choosy. I have numerous multifamily investments. The bottom line, there's a lot of places to choose from, right? I can choose where I put my money. And I've made a conscious effort over the last 3 years to start spreading my money out. I'm now in five different states outside of Texas. Something else, I want to share another mistake I made as a multifamily investor. And one of the main features as Lifestyles Unlimited as a membership group is that we share everything, financials, best practices, what to do, what not to do. And we help because we believe as a group that if we help each other, we'll all succeed. So this show, for the remainder of this show, I'm going to share my personal rules, what to do, what not to do, that I've developed as an investor to really minimize risk in my portfolio. You may hear these and you may agree, you may disagree, you may have your own rule. If you have your rule, share it with me. I'm very interested. I'd like to see what you do to minimize your risk when you invest in multifamily apartment communities as a passive. My email address is askmike@luinc.com. askmike@luinc.com. And I'll respond personally to that email. I respond personally to each and every email I get. So I mentioned I had made another mistake as a multifamily investor. What was that mistake? I was very eager when I graduated essentially from my single family properties to multifamily properties. And it wasn't a graduation of sorts. It was a time for me. It was something I wanted to do. But I had to get prepared to invest in multifamily assets. That took a little bit of time. At the moment I hit it, which was late in 2017, I'd completed the passive investor training. That's part of our education program. And I started allocating resources to invest in multifamily. By January of 2018, I had some powder, right? I had a ton of money ready to go, and I was raring to get out of the gates and begin investing in multifamily properties. I invested quite a bit, hundreds of thousands of dollars in 2018. Looking back, I went too fast. I went way too fast. I share with everybody, slow it down, and I'll tell you what happened on the other side.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm talking about some rules that I've developed for myself as a multifamily investor, and I've been investing in multifamily apartment communities for going on 7 years now. So it's been wonderful. Not every deal has been perfect. I was discussing some of that, but really, I've learned some lessons along the way, and hence I've written kind of an outline. Here's how I'm going to do it going forward. And this started really for me 3 years ago, and I've been doing it that way ever since, and it's been great. One of the lessons I learned along the way was I really came out of the gates way too fast. When people ask me a question about becoming a multifamily investor, and they say they've got money set aside, I always tell them, go slow. Get in that first deal, analyze it, become a part of it, and just hold your breath for 6 months. Just wait. See how it turns out. The problem is we learn all about this investing technique, the fact that, you know, it is pretty amazing that we can become part owners and invest in apartment communities. That's amazing. That excites people. The type A's that are out there are, once they figure it out, they say, boom, I've got this much money and I want to throw it into a multitude of properties as fast as I can. It was kind of me coming out of the gate, right? I had been a member for many years prior. I had purchased several single family properties. I was successful with those properties. But 2018 came around. I had my passive investor certification. I had a lot of money ready to invest in these properties. And I was hammering everything, right? If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. One of the properties I got into, I ended up losing 17%. Okay, it was a deal I invested in. A lot of other passive investors were in there with me. What happened, right? We have to do the after-action evaluation. Everything else I invested in 2018 performed exceptional. But looking back, what happened? What was my mistake? Number one, I went too fast, invested too quickly. I should have slowed down. The next one, I didn't do as much of due diligence or a dive into the lead investor as I do today. I didn't do as much as I should have, right? I'd met this individual a couple times at case studies and road trips that we do at our offices, and, you know, kind of had a casual relationship, right? Recognized the guy by name. You know, I'm on his passive investor list. I get the email that, hey, I found a property. Here's, you know, we're going to buy this property, blah, blah, blah. And I was excited to invest. So, yes, here we go. You know, I wasn't a seasoned multifamily investor. So I jumped on that. And I was too naive at the time, right? First time out of the gate, lead investor. I didn't realize this guy really didn't have the skill set to tackle this particular property. I believe this property was about a 50-unit property, and that's pretty big for a first-time investor. When you think about it, right? This was his first time to buy a multifamily. He was kind of arrogant about it, looking back. Just didn't click with me. And now I'm kind of like, hey, you're a first-time investor. I want to know what your skill set is. I want to understand more about you. I'm not saying you've had to own properties in the past, but what I am saying is, do you have the skills from your career, from your, you know, your prior job, right? Your prior entities that you've worked on, do you have those skill sets that will translate to real estate? And many of them do, but a 50 unit property is pretty big, and I should have recognized that this guy didn't have the skill set to do it. He should have taken on maybe a 20 unit, something he could really spend some time on. That was the other thing. He didn't really want to spend any time on the property. He thought this was kind of a buy, lay up, and move on down the road. So, and I blame that on me. I blame it all on me. Now, we have leads that have the ability to take on large properties, the first one out of the gate. And I have invested with one such lead. It turned out very great. I've invested with this lead many times. But this person was just the opposite of the guy I lost 17% with. He's successful. He's a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. Every investment I've made with this individual has been to my absolute joy and satisfaction. But when he was ready to begin syndicating, right, becoming a lead investor, he bought a property, I believe, was 200 units, maybe a little more than that. And that's a giant property, and it kind of caught some folks' attention. But then you look at this person and you go, wow, that's a big property for a first-time lead investor. Well, this person just happened to be past the president of the apartment association. He had been in the management apartment business for decades at a very high corporate level. I believe his responsibilities included over 20,000 units across a real estate portfolio. So this particular person had, you know, mountains of skill set to handle a 200 unit property. The guy I invested with when I was excited and in a hurry in 2018 and didn't do my homework, he did not have the skill set. And so that's why we lost money. But I've developed a set of rules, right? Looking back, it's been a few years. I've got a lot of investments out and about across the country, several states. Now I can apply some rules, right? I couldn't have rules when I just had one or two or three properties. So let me share these rules. Again, feel free to adopt them. Feel free to discuss them with me. Feel free to send me your own rules. I do love engaging with our fellow members. So my first rule that I made, and I hit on it earlier, was no more than 10% of my portfolio is going to be invested with any one lead investor at any given time. Okay. So what I'm saying is I've got a portfolio that I invest in real estate. I don't want greater than 10% with any one lead investor or any one lead investment team. So because I have a large amount of investments, I'm able to do that. I could have never made that statement when I started out, when I had one investment. When you have one, well, you got 100% with one person. When you have three, you may have two of those deals with the same individual and your third deal with someone else. That means you got 66.6% with one lead investor. So this builds over time. This is me looking back over years and the knowledge. What have I learned? What am I doing differently? Okay. So that's something I practice today. Now, it is nothing against these lead investors, right? I cap myself out. Obviously, I have full confidence in these folks because I wouldn't have invested with them in the first place. I'm just looking for a way to spread the risk, right? To kind of slow my roll, cap what I'm doing. I have to put these roadblocks in place because, again, as I mentioned earlier, I go too fast, right? I go way too fast. Now, another thing about lead investors, not all, but many of them know a particular market area, right? They find a sweet spot, and that's where they do their business, right? And, you know, this is my area, and this is where we purchase in. And so if you're heavy with a particular lead, you're probably very heavy in a certain geographical area. So I pay attention to that, right? So the first rule ties into my second rule. My second rule is, no more than 10% of my portfolio will be invested in any one city, okay? Let me clarify that. If I have 10% of my portfolio in Dallas, Texas, that doesn't stop me from investing in Fort Worth or Arlington or Plano or any of the other 20 or 30 communities out and about and around Dallas, Texas. That rule just limits my exposure in Dallas, Texas. Why do I do that? Because I have learned metropolitan areas, cities, city councils, counties, they are great until the minute they're not. What's a great city today can become quickly infected with the wrong kind of politicians that could quickly ruin the business environment faster than you think. Rule number three, and this is going to sound harsh, and I apologize if I hurt anyone's feelings here. I'm not talking personal politics. This isn't about feelings. This is about our investing. Okay, let's pay attention to that. But I just don't invest in blue cities. Okay, I'm sorry. What is a blue city? A blue city that is politically to the left, right? They align with the values of some things that, let's just say, are not business friendly, and they don't respect property rights, okay? If property rights are important, as in, well, yeah, I'm a real estate investor, property rights are utmost. I mean, yeah, I've got to have the right to, you know, control my asset, to control my investment, to make rules or to follow a lease that gauges how this investment, how this property is going to be run. A lease is a contract between an owner and a renter, right? A resident of that property. Some of these blue cities suddenly just say, nope, doesn't matter that you have a lease. The resident has the right to do this, 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 and this, which really does not work out well. You know, some of these people are incentivized to have negative behaviors, okay? Let's just say that. And if you incentivize negative behaviors, what's going to happen? You're going to get more negative behaviors. So I've got a large portfolio. I can put my money wherever I want. I'm not putting it in blue cities, okay? Not about feelings. This is about common sense. Let's take Austin, Texas, okay? I've invested in Austin, Texas. I have my best friend in the world lives in Austin, Texas. I love Austin, Texas, but I'm not investing in Austin, Texas. I'm sorry, okay? They've lost their mind, absolutely lost their mind. And above and beyond that, there really is an oversaturation of rental units, multifamily units coming online. So simple economics 101, if we've got a ton of supply that's getting dumped into the system, it's going to drive down demand. It's going to drive down occupancy rates. And that's not good as a real estate investor. So, you know, Austin, I have faith it'll come around. What a fun place to go see and to go visit, but I'm not investing there. Okay. Sorry. Love you, Austin, but, you know, love you for having some good times and drinking some Colwinds, and we'll leave it at that. Okay. Very similar to the blue cities rule is my blue states rule. Nothing personal, okay? My dad was transferred out to California when I was a teenager, and he was in the space industry and worked outside of Lompoc, California out there, and I would go live with him every summer. I looked forward to it. We had the time of our life. We'd go hike Kalama Beach. Just everything about California was a blast. The ocean's amazing. The weather's amazing. It's a little chilly out there, that little point at Lompoc. We'd take road trips. It was amazing. I'm not investing in California, okay? My oldest daughter, she lives and works in the financial district of Manhattan in New York City, the FIDI, as they call it. It's incredible there. We're going up to see her again this summer. I'm taking the whole family. We got a trip planned. We're going to have a great time. You're going to have your head on a swivel in New York City, but at least that part was great. Food's incredible. Entertainment's incredible. Museums are amazing. The urban hikes are awesome. I love hiking in an urban environment, right? Covering some blocks, covering some ground. I'm not investing in New York, okay? It's part of my rule. I made the rule. I'm sticking to my rule. My next rule, I am limiting my coastal investment of multifamily properties to no more than 10% of my portfolio. I'm not there right now, okay? Looking back, I was pretty heavy in the coastal investment. I grew up on the Texas coast. I love the beach. I realize how attractive these communities can be. And I see apartment deals pop up on the Texas coast. And I think to myself, I know that city well. I know that community well. What a great investment this is going to make, especially with the labor that's coming to Texas, the coastal development, what's going on in Corpus Christi, Rockport, Galveston, Harlingen, the entire Gulf side of the United States is just blowing up. There's LNG exports, there's manufacturing, there's shipping. These are great areas, okay? I'm not saying don't invest there. I'm just saying, hey, my portfolio is this size. I'm going to limit 10% of my exposure to the coast. Mike, what's a big deal about the coast? Well, I'll tell you, I grew up on the coast. There's a little thing called a hurricane. You hope it's a little thing. Sometimes it's a big, big thing. I haven't had any of my properties get affected by that, knock on wood. However, why not minimize your coastal investing? Pull a little risk out of that portfolio, okay? I'm sad when I see some of these deals come across because I'm like, man, we used to run the streets in that particular area. I'd love to own another apartment community down there. Just have to limit it at some point. So that's what I'm doing. What's my next rule? I'm moving money outside of Texas actively, a percentage of my portfolio. I would like 30, maybe 40% of my money in areas other than Texas. Am I suddenly down on Texas? No, I live in Texas. I love Texas. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise kids. It's a great place to invest. Sometimes I feel like we are the center of the universe, especially with the development that's coming here, the businesses that are coming here that are moving, these Fortune 500 companies that are coming to Texas, especially if you drew a line from Houston to San Antonio to Austin to Dallas and back down to Houston. Everything in between is getting filled in. It's insane. They're building a nuclear reactor outside of Abilene, Texas. Can you believe that? I don't think we've built a nuclear reactor in this country since the 70s. They're building one, Sleepy Abilene. By the way, little Sleepy Abilene's also getting, I think, a $500 or $600 million super data center, whatever the heck that is. That's crazy. So Texas is changing. So I'm not down on Texas in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying, hey, let's get some money into some of these other places. Some of these other areas are fantastic opportunities that are out there. So spreading it out a little bit. You know what upsets me about Texas? I'll tell you, property taxes are out of control. They are out of control. They are on the verge of prohibitive. And insurance costs have skyrocketed. So as you're investing in Texas, pay attention to it, right? Make sure that lead investor has those noted in that MFQA, right? The multifamily quick analysis. What is your estimated property tax? What is your estimated insurance on this property? Have you baked in leads through the term that you hold the property, right? Increases to the cost is what I'm saying. And I'm pretty sure these are being accounted for. I'm seeing them be accounted for. But understand that part about Texas. Well, a great place to invest, property tax is outrageous. Insurance is outrageous. Economic outlook, astronomical, right? Through the roof, over the top. I'm moving a little bit of money out of Texas. Not that I don't like it. I've got a portfolio that's a certain size. Let's spread it out. My last rule I'll share with you. I'm keeping 5% of my net worth in cash. Okay. Now, I can hear you, a lot of you right now, Mike, we're not savers. No, I'm not saving. I'm putting 5% of my net worth in cash. Why? Well, I no longer have the Dave Ramsey emergency fund. My net worth has reached a point to where this makes sense. This 5% of cash, it doesn't just sit there. Yes, it does serve as my personal emergency fund should I need it. But more importantly than that, that is my war chest for investing in future multifamily opportunities or single family real estate that comes along. Okay. So yeah, you've got to have that ready to go, ready to take action. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, I'd like to invest in this particular real estate asset. And it's another thing to go, I got the money right here. If I want to invest in it, I'm going to invest in it. And it's just a lot easier at that point. Now, when I pull money out of that, suddenly I've depleted a little bit of that fund. Have I not? I have. So I need to build that fund back up. As my net worth grows, you know, at some point, 5% may be too heavy. I'll have to evaluate it. I'm not there yet, but that's just something that I'm doing on my end. And the whole time, I want you to remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.